You're listening to the Presence Pioneers podcast. Hey everyone, welcome to today's episode. I'm your host, Matthew Lilly, and I'm here with Kurt Wilson, who is the founder of Pray for the Lou, and we're excited to share with you some testimonies and stories of what God's doing in St. Louis to bring unity and prayer and revival in amazing ways. Before we dive in today, just want to thank you guys who are part of this podcast community. Thank you for tracking with us. Thank you for sharing, rating, reviewing, commenting, liking, all those kinds of things that you do to engage with us and participate. We really appreciate that. And if you're new, welcome. Thanks for tuning in. We want to help you as worshipers, intercessors, and leaders to experience and host God's presence, because we believe God's presence changes everything. So be sure to follow and subscribe to stay in touch with us. We would love to continue to resource you moving forward. Well, Kurt, it's great to have you back on the podcast, man.
Man, it's so good to be here, and it's always a pleasure, whether we're online or offline, just talking about the things of God and prayer and worship.
So. Totally. It's been a minute, but it's great to have you back. And I know you guys have had an amazing event this year, Pray for the Lou, a ministry that you helped found, but now I know a team is leading that together. According to your website, your desire is to ignite prayer in the Church of St. Louis and to bring unity to the church and strength to the city. So I want to hear some of the stories and testimonies from this year. I want to hear some of your journey. I want to help other people today, not only just kind of get encouraged and inspired and stirred up in their faith, but also like, you're going to share stories, but God wants us all to be a part of the story. So I believe that part of what we want to get out of today is we want to know, God, how can we be a part of the story? How can we see you do amazing things in our lives and in our cities? So that's kind of where we're going today, but maybe just take a minute, introduce yourself. It's been a little while since you've been on the podcast. What have you been up to the last few years?
Yeah. So first of all, off the top, I'm in St. Louis, Missouri. And so Pray for the Lou, the nickname of St. Louis is the Lou. So that's where that comes from. A lot of people are have a lot of thoughts and opinions, you know, in Britain, it means one thing. Here, it's an endearing name for our city.
That's helpful.
You know, in the famous, you know, prophet Nelly, he said, I'm from the Lou and I'm proud. And so it's a St. Louis being proud of your city. So, man, we have been praying for the Lou. No pun intended. We've been going after the body of Christ coming together. What if the body could come together and every part could play their part? What could happen in our city, in a place that's known to be divided, but what if the united body came together? So every year since March 14th of 2020, we've had a Pray for the Lou Day, where often that looks like churches will prayer walk their neighborhoods at the same time. So we've had as many as 60, 65 churches all across our region prayer walking at the same time in their Jerusalem. And then we always come together to worship and pray and celebrate. But this last year in March, we decided we would take things up a notch as the Lord. I love that it's Presence Pioneers, because I feel like every year we're pioneering something a little bit different,
right?
As we're in year number five. But this year, as we were praying together as a team and we were dreaming, we kind of had this idea, what if we did 50 hours of nonstop worship, prayer, and reading of the word together? And often people say, Kurt, that's great, but have you ever done 24? And I said, we've never done 24, but I think the Lord is leading us to 50. Yeah. And so that was what we set our sights on and our vision on. And typically we're outdoors, and typically on that day, it's the worst weather possible. It's rain, it's sleeting, our weather is crazy. In Missouri, it could, you know, rain one day and be 90 the next. But this year, we're going to do 50 hours somewhere and just bring the body together to worship and prayer and read the word as well. And then also prayer walk. So prayer walking was still a part of it, where 25 or 30 churches prayer walked in their neighborhood at the same time. So yeah, we've been going after it to have unity, to have a space for the body to come together.
Yeah, that's awesome. So cool, man. Yeah. So let's just get into it. Tell us what it looked like this year. You said 50 hours, nonstop worship, prayer, scripture reading. Give us some more details. Give us some stories. What happened in 2024?
So we can't start without telling the story of where we felt we needed to be from the Lord, the location, right? Because if you're going to be doing 50 hours, you need the right place. And we really felt from the Lord to be downtown in the heart of our city, that we wanted to be in the heart and people from the region could come to downtown. A lot of people will come downtown in St. Louis for a baseball game, a hockey game, but otherwise it's somewhat of a dangerous place and people don't want to come. But we thought, what better place to be? Also, part of our story and our journey over the last 8 years is the New York City businessman's revival, Jeremiah Lampfear. That's been a key kind of story for some of the things we've tried that seemed like they failed. And we also know that that revival actually spread from New York to the Midwest here in St. Louis, all the way to Portland, where from noon to one, places of business where these prayer gatherings were happening and salvation was happening and all sorts of things. People should go check into it, read about it if they haven't heard about it, because it was
if I could interrupt, let's take a rabbit trail. Yeah. Give us 3 or 4 minutes on this revival, because it's an amazing story. Some people will know it, but some people won't.
Yeah, so Jeremiah Lampfear was basically a missionary to New York City, but it was a businessman. He was trying to do all the things, go door to door. Nothing was working. He said, you know what? We got this church building. We're going to open it up for prayer for businessmen to come on their lunch break. You know, in the first day, like, I think it was 6 people came, but the first half an hour, no one. And then he had 6. Long story short, it keeps growing, multiplying places. They pray for an hour. There'll be people in the meeting praying for salvation. Like, the mom will pray for salvation for the son. The son's in the meeting. They don't know it. They get saved. So many people were coming to Jesus. They couldn't baptize them in the church. They were cutting a hole in the Hudson River and the frozen river in the middle of winter, baptizing people. There's stories of sailors coming into the port in New York and not knowing why, but falling under repentance, getting on their knees and repenting and turning their lives to Jesus. In New York City, business, like at noon, you would go to a business. Hey, I want to get a loaf of bread. Hey, sorry, business is closed until the prayer meeting's over. Spreads to all these places and continues to move throughout the nation and just had a tremendous impact. And so that led us on a prayer journey years ago. And now we felt like, hey, we want to be in the heart of downtown.
It's awesome.
We didn't know where we were going to be. We looked at an event space. They told us no. And we were praying about it. It was a couple months until the event. And some friends of mine in ministry said, hey, we think we have the place for you. There's this downtown office building. It's 22 stories. It overlooks the arch, which if you know about St. Louis, we got the Gateway Arch. It's iconic. And it overlooks our courthouse here in downtown as well. So it's like right in the heart of downtown. And long story, really, really short, they got us connected to the owner of the building. And we went back and forth on possibilities of what could happen. Eventually, we met the owner, had the meeting, said, hey, here's our heart for the city. And he said, hey, I got a heart for this place as well. I'm from here. And then he took us on a tour of 3 different floors that are each 22,000 square feet and said, hey, could one of these floors work for your event? And so we were blown away. We went to the 7th floor. So all our prophetic prayer people, like, 7th floor, we love it.
Perfect.
But yeah, it was perfect. And they opened up the space for us. So we were in a $22 million office building, had the whole 7th floor for these 50 hours. They rolled out the red carpet, so kind, because they just have such a heart for the city. And then we just dream with the Lord. So it was amazing, man. The Lord gave us kind of the strategy. We had a prayer room, which I'll talk about in a minute, was 50 nonstop hours worship, prayer. And we read through the book of Acts together during that time. We had a fellowship area where we could break bread, drink coffee, meet people that were coming, because people were coming from the city that didn't know each other. And they found themselves in the prayer room, and then they could have conversations. We had an Imago Dei prayer room, Image of God prayer room. We had 8 prayer stations that were interactive, contemplative, where people could take their time. There was different kind of interactive things that they could do. We had a kids area in the prayer room. Kids had a prayer wall. We had trains for them to put together so parents could be there. And we just had this amazing space that was above and beyond that the Lord provided for people to come for these 50 hours. And it was...
That's awesome.
But like, we couldn't have picked... I want to say this because it's hard to capture the context, but I've been believing and crying out to the Lord for 8 years to have some kind of prayer space downtown. And if I had to tell you what it could look like, this was above and beyond, above and beyond. And only the Lord could open these doors.
Yeah, that's amazing. So cool. So what was going on during the 50 hours? Give us you kind of gave us a picture, but what were some of the things the Lord was doing?
So during the 50 hours, the cool thing was like we started every hour with the word. And so every hour we started reading scripture. Then we went into worship and prayer. But the beauty was you had 20 different worship teams, you know, take a 2 hour spot. You had 20 different prayer leaders take a spot. Some of my favorite stories, it didn't matter if it was 7 p.m., 3 a.m., or whatever time in the 50 hours, every team gave like everything they had to Jesus. Every team, it was all about Jesus. No teams were announced. There was no one knew who anyone was. It was all for Jesus. And the unity was amazing. One of the things we kind of learned along the way in African-American church culture, which we kind of knew, but we didn't really have the language for, it's already common in their culture to have a shut-in.
Right.
So a night of prayer from like 7 p.m. to 7 a.m., and it's called the shut-in. They go to the church, they shut in, and they pray. So there were churches that found out what we were doing for 50 hours, and they're basically saying, you're having a shut-in.
Yeah.
And not only that, we're going to have a van or a bus, and we're going to sign people up, and we're going to come from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m., and we're going to shut in with you on one of the nights. And this isn't a church that I have a relationship with. This isn't a church where I know the pastor. This is just a church that they heard the call, they heard what we were doing, and it fit into their world and their context, and they were able to jump in and support. And so the room always had people in it, which was, again, amazing. We've, as a body in St. Louis, we've never really done 24 hours. So to do 50 in a place where people don't really necessarily want to come, and you're at this office building that they're a little unaware, like, where do I park and what's going on? To always have people come was tremendous, and have this church just come, be a part, shut in, and pray. It was, it's the stuff you believe can happen, but then when it does, you almost just sit back and it's hard to believe it's happening.
Yeah, that's amazing. So about how many different churches were involved? I assume some of the worship teams were from different churches and ministries. Is that right? Hey guys, this is Matthew. We'll get back to the episode in just a moment. If you're enjoying the podcast, please consider joining Presence Pioneers Premium, our brand new subscriber community. Paid subscribers will get exclusive premium content such as bonus podcast episodes, exclusive articles, early releases, and more. Presence Pioneers will be releasing its first e-course in 2024, with many more to come. And the Presence Pioneers premium subscribers will always have full access to the entire library of online courses. Visit media.presencepioneers.org or click the link in the description to join today. You can become a premium member today for an introductory price of only $5 a month. When the price goes up in the future, as our library of resources grows, you can stay subscribed at the original price. If you've enjoyed our podcast for a while, becoming a premium member is a simple way for you to help us cover the cost of producing this podcast and partner with Presence Pioneers in equipping the church with resources for day and night prayer, prophetic worship, missions, and revival. Visit media.presencepioneers.org to sign up today.
Yeah, so of all the worship, you know, the 20 different worship teams, they were, most of them were from different ministries. We probably had, in the worship alone, 15 different ministries.
Yeah.
But participation, it's really hard to know because people kind of came and they went.
Right.
And also just looking at the audience, because I was there the bulk of the time, I did sleep a little bit, but not much because I was too excited. We probably had about 500 people roll through in the 50 hours, and I didn't know half of them.
Yeah.
So they weren't people that have participated in what we've done in the past. God was just bringing people out. In fact, there was a testimony of a girl that I think she was from either New York or Philadelphia. The Lord led her to move to St. Louis. She moves here, only been here a few weeks. She hasn't been to many churches. The local radio station was putting out promotional stuff about, hey, pray for Lou's doing this thing, 50 hours. So her first like worship gathering in St. Louis was coming to these 50 hours and meeting different people from the body of Christ. So God was just drawing different people in that we never met that heard the call and wanted to stand with us and stand for the city and just pray, and people in the room, as always, sitting, walking. It was the full expression of the body, you know. Even the worship, you know, there were times of great joy and exuberance and loud, and there were times it was just, you know, still before the Lord. So it was a real blending of the body here in St. Louis. Yeah.
So help me understand, you had a 50 hours, but then you also do prayer walking as part of the event. Is that right? How does that fit in?
So we have our 50 hours from start to finish. We started on Thursday night. On Saturday morning was the prayer walking time.
Okay. While the 50 hours is still going.
In the midst of it.
Right. Okay.
And so we were about 40 hours in. We had 40 hours of nonstop worship, prayer, and the word. And then teams were sent out where they signed up in the region. And so we had about 25 or 30 teams out. In addition to, we didn't know this, but that day in St. Louis, right where we are downtown, was the St. Patrick's Day Parade. And they estimated there'd be 200,000 people there, the largest single event of anything for the whole year in St. Louis that's attended downtown. And so we reached out to some of our evangelist friends and said, hey, we're going to stoke the fires of this upper room.
Yeah.
What if you guys went out while we're doing this and shared the gospel? So they went out and prayed for people and shared the gospel with people in the midst of us, you know, being in that upper room. And so, man, it was, I like to say it like this. I've had a lot of wild things the Lord's led me to do.
Yeah.
And most of them never turn out how I see initially, like rarely.
Yeah.
But this was like the closest where what I saw from the Lord, what he asked us to do and what actually happened, they were pretty close together.
Oh man, that's super cool. So did some people get saved or seeds were planted? I mean, did you hear any testimonies back?
I mean, a lot of seeds were planted. Yeah. People got healed. People, they said, were super open to the gospel, which you can imagine after 40 hours of of worship and prayer that, and us just being there. Yeah. So I'm sure there were some salvations, but
hard to keep up with everything.
It was hard to keep up, man. We had a lot of moving parts and just trying to keep everything moving forward.
Sure. That's cool. So here's a question for you. And it may be obvious to some people, but why are you doing this? Because there's a lot of things you could do with your life, Kurt. And so, you know, it's a very unique kind of thing you're pursuing here with unity and prayer. And it's a lot of work. It's a lot of money, et cetera. And so give me the why. What's driving you? What's burning in your heart and why this is so important to you?
Yeah, there's probably several answers to that question. One is, in my late 20s, I was a missionary in China. And when I was there, there's millions of people to reach. And there's different organizations that go and, you know, some do well drilling, some translate the Bible, some plant churches. And what I saw for the first time in my life is there was no competition. Mm. It was clear that we all needed each other because there was no way we're going to reach 10 million people, a whole city, or a whole people group unless we work together. So that was like deposited in me 15, 20 years ago. And I've always wondered why in the West, the body, why can't the parts of the body work together under the head who is Jesus to who he's created us to be? Instead of trying to be every part of the body, what if we could come together? And so for me, that's what I've been laboring towards. And someone's got to build the bridge. A lot of times it isn't that this church over here or this ministry are like against each other. They just don't know one another. There's no place to come together. And for us, unity has to have a place. There has to be some neutral place where this denomination and this group of people and people from, in our case, the city and the county that maybe don't even geographically cross lines, we have to have a place where we can come together. And so I didn't even really want to do prayer walking. I didn't want to do citywide prayer. I wanted to see unity. Mm. And everything I was laboring for in that vein wasn't working. It wasn't bringing people together on the scale that I knew was possible. And so it's a long story from the Lord leading me one step of the way. And prayer has been the place where it seems like people can come together and know we need to. And some of the walls are down. Some of our preferences are down. There's just a little more room and freedom. But I believe God, I believe he's given us the parts of the body to work together. And if we could, we would see greater impact in our city, greater collaboration. And so we're trying to build the bridge in all these ways to get the church to do something together as a first step so that they can take more steps and continue to work together, continue to dream for St. Louis. Because not one group, not one organization. No one's going to get it done. Like, it's going to take us together. But we know in Acts, they had to be together in one place. And so we're creating that space through prayer walking or some of these prayer rallies or this 50 hours for the body of Christ to meet each other and realize, wow, we actually have more in common than we think. Wow, actually, I can pray for you now better, or whatever the case may be.
Yeah. So what I think I'm hearing is part of what's driving you is actually mission. It's missions. It's the desire to see cities or people groups reached with the gospel and transformed by the power of God. I know you were part of, or maybe still are part of, Iris Global, the ministry yeah. founded by Roland and Heidi Baker, which obviously is a huge missions ministry and a huge missions movement. So I'm sensing that missional, even apostolic, if I can say that, vision to just see impact. And you're realizing, hey, we can't do it without prayer and we can't do it without unity. We have to work together as the body of Christ.
Yeah, it's definitely, that's the ironic thing is I am part of Iris Global, you know, which is known for the orphan, the widow, the poor, the hardest places, mission, mission, mission. So that's really what, when I came back to St. Louis after being in Africa, my wife and I, for a number of years, it was like mission, 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 mission.
Yeah.
But it was like, it wasn't working, wasn't working, wasn't working. And I was already a kind of a prayer person, but I had never really led in prayer. I'd never really been around like a house of prayer. This whole, the word movement, I didn't know what a movement was. none of it was like even in my realm or in my world. But there became a point where the Lord said, if you want the city, I want you to prayer walk every neighborhood of your city, kind of like a Joshua and Caleb to pioneer and plow. And so that was a personal journey. And then I realized in prayer, like, I wasn't getting invited in to preach at a Baptist gathering or a Presbyterian gathering or Assemblies gathering, but I would get invited in to pray into these places. And I realized, like, it was like I had to deal with my pride. I had to deal with my flesh, because all of a sudden I went from being like missions, which people somewhat have a grid for.
Right.
Oh, Kurt's the prayer guy. That's what Kurt does. He prays.
Yeah.
And it's kind of good he does that, but that's kind of a waste of time. And he's praying for all these great things in our city, and he's saying they're going to happen, but yet no one's even coming to the prayer gatherings that he's holding. And he wants to unite the body, but no one's coming. And he's just kind of this wild guy out running around the city. And it was like, Lord, like, I'm missions. I'm like, even in Iris Global, I mean, we're known for intimacy, but not necessarily prayer.
Right.
And so even there, it's like, how do I fit in my own tribe? How do I fit in this city? Is any of it going to matter? But I just had to surrender it to the Lord and say, I know what's in my heart. I know what's in your heart, Lord. And if this is the way you want me to walk it out, I'll be foolish, it feels like, and try to do it
yeah.
to the best I can.
Yeah. That's so good. Thank you for being candid about that. I think every pioneer that's tuning in can relate, especially when it comes to, you know, trying to pursue prayer, trying to pursue unity in a city. That's such a relatable experience. We got a few more minutes in this first half of our conversation here. You brought up the prayer walking thing again, where that was kind of where everything started for you.
Yeah.
Maybe take a few minutes, because I feel like, you know, for an individual that's watching this, maybe not a leader, not a pioneer, not a leader of any ministry or whatever, to me, that's a great step, you know, begin to prayer walk. And that's not maybe something that people talk about a lot. I mean, we talk a lot about prayer rooms, houses of prayer, and that kind of corporate prayer a lot on this podcast. Or maybe the secret place, right? Go in your room and pray, have that intimacy with the Lord. Take a few minutes, talk about prayer walking, and be as practical as possible. Like, what does this look like? How do people do it? Do they talk to people while they're doing it? Are they praying out loud and being weird? Or is, like, you know, like what, how yeah. does this work?
So prayer walking, one definition from a book years ago that impacted me is praying on site with insight is prayer walking.
That's good.
And so you're on site and you gain insight because you're using all your senses and you're like on the location on the ground. Typically, it's good to at least have someone with you, a small group, 2-3 people.
That's good.
It's good to pick a location like, hey, we're going to prayer walk in this neighborhood and we're going to do it for an hour. It's kind of like the gym, right? Like, you don't just show up at the gym randomly. It's like, no, I'm going to the gym. I got my stuff ready and I got 45 minutes and this is what I'm going to do while I'm there. So we pick a location. then when you start, it's good just to pray for a few moments, ask the Holy Spirit, like, where should we go? Lord, is there anything in us that we need to deal with before we go? Just prepare yourself, prepare your heart. Sometimes you're prayer walking with people you don't know. So you want to kind of build a little bit of unity or a relationship there. And then you do, you begin to walk. Obviously, you keep your eyes open. Where we are, sidewalks are not so straight and not so level. And I say it like this to kind of take people's walls down. It's a conversation between you and God, but you and each other. Mm. And so it's okay if me and you were prayer walking for us to have a conversation like, how's your kids? What's going on? Just everyday life. But then in the moment, we can stop and I'll, you know, pray for something. You'll pray for something. You know, you just see a lot of things. Sometimes you see scripture on signs. You see it on the wall. Sometimes you see a school that's dilapidated. And so those are clues. That's insight. I need to pray for teachers. I need to pray for administrators. I see drugs being sold in the open right now. I need to pray for that. I see prostitution. I see a business, whatever it is. And you begin to pray and you walk. And sometimes you stop and you might pray on a corner for 20 minutes. Sometimes you might walk and never stop. If you see people, we always ask them, hey, would you like prayer? Is there anything I can pray for you for? A lot of times people will say, oh, I'm good. I don't need prayer. Then this is a good follow-up question. Well, what does this neighborhood need prayer for?
Great.
And then they'll say, oh, this, this, and this, and you'll get insight into the neighborhood. Because for us, a lot of times we're in neighborhoods we don't live in.
Yeah.
It's different if I encourage everyone listening, go prayer walk your neighborhood, do it every week, do it for an hour, pray for your neighbors by name, like get to know them. But if you're pioneering in a city sense where you're going into places to explore, see what God's doing, when you walk by a church, stop, look at that sign, look at the pastor's name, pray for them. Mm. Pray that God would strengthen them. Pray that they would be a city on a hill. Pray for the, you know, everything involved with that. And so you do that for like an hour and come back together. Sometimes we have multiple teams. We come back together and just debrief what's going on. Also, our friends at Civil Righteousness developed a prayer walking app. It's free. It's called Holy Ground. And so you can download that and you can track your walk and it'll paint the street red where you've been, and you can zoom in your city and see where people have been. So that's kind of a practical tool to log it and know where you've been and see where people have been in your city. So we're thankful for that practical tool that I wish I would have had years ago when I started.
Yeah, that's super helpful. We'll be sure to link to that app in the description here of the episode as well. Great insights, Kurt. Thank you so much. I think that's going to give people something tangible from this episode. Here's what you do. Start prayer walking your neighborhood, grab a few friends, and just see what God does. It's amazing. I've had prayer walks come up in the last week or so in a couple of different environments I'm in. So I feel like even that's something God's resurrecting and bringing a resurgence to. And so I want to encourage everyone to engage in that. So Kurt and I are going to continue this conversation. I want to ask him about some of the behind the scenes leadership challenges of doing something like Pray for the Lou. If anyone's ever tried to pursue unity before between churches, you know that that's challenging. If anyone's ever tried to lead a prayer ministry before, you know that there's challenges with doing that. And so I'm just going to ask Kurt what he did right, what he did wrong, what he's learned. And we want to help you guys who maybe feel stirred about, hey, I would love to see united prayer in my city. I'd love to see 50 churches come together. I'd love to see my city covered in prayer walks all over. Like, how do I do that? How do I begin to move forward with that? And so that's going to be for our paid subscribers on Presence Pioneers, our Substack. And so we're going to have the link right in the description and the show notes where you can click that and get the second part of our conversation with Kurt. And our paid subscribers just help pay for the production of our podcast and help fuel our ministry as we're wanting to encourage and equip people in day and night worship and prayer. So Kurt, thanks so much. This has been awesome.
Yeah, can't wait to continue the conversation.